you will, turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. 11 is going to be our focal verse, and we're going to build off of that song this morning. The title of our message is, He is Worthy. Now, I realize that song is asking the question, is He worthy? And the response to that is simply the message today. He is worthy. And what I want us to do, and we're not going to get too deep into the background or what's going on in Revelation. I'm going to give you a little bit just so that you understand the context of this. But our focus this morning is simply this question. Is He worthy in your life? I mean, it's easy to come to church and experience worship as we have this morning. It is easy to come and spend time praying and studying about Him. But the question remains, is He worthy in your life? Now, I'm going to answer that a little bit today in a general sense, dissecting this passage and looking at sort of between the words. And we're going to come up with four reasons that we can generally say that He's worthy. But it still is lost on the fact that you still have to answer the question, is He worthy in your life? And listen, that list is endless, to be honest with you. If you were to list as a believer all of the reasons that He is worthy in your life, it's probably never going to be complete. And probably one day is different from another day, but we need to answer that question, is He worthy? Have you put Him in a proper place in your life? Do you even know Him as your Savior? Do you experience Him to the utmost every single day? Are you living a life to reflect His worthiness? Now, I can't answer that for you, even though I'm going to try to guide you through a little bit of that today in this message. But that is something you've got to come to terms with. It's something that you've got to decide. And if you struggle with that, then my prayer this morning is that God begins to open your eyes so that you can see, listen to this, His worthiness in your life. Because show me a believer who struggles with the worthiness of God, and I'll show you a believer who's not experiencing the joy, the passion, the completeness of their faith. God intends for us to see Him worthy. Let's pray, and then we'll go through kind of a little bit of a background, and then we'll come back in and look at four ways that God is worthy. Father, thank You this morning for what we've experienced already. Without question, You are present here today. We sense that. We feel that. And so, God, now as we dive in for a few minutes into Your Word, I pray, open our hearts, but also our minds to You, to not be distracted by what we may be worried about this morning or what may be happening this next week or what happened last week, but this morning to be focused on You. And as a believer in our hearts, to be just fixated on that question, are You worthy? Am I living a life to reflect Your worthiness? Am I acknowledging Your worthiness in every area of my life, whatever that may be? Now, God, I pray for the lost person this morning. I mean, the awe and wonder of God is in their sight. There's no question they can see things like that, but they can't experience what it means to say He is worthy as a believer does because they don't know Jesus is their Lord and Savior. So my prayer this morning as we walk through this, that for them that question needs to be, why is He not worthy? Why is what Jesus did on the cross not enough? Why is it that they've not made that decision to surrender and to put You in that place where You have created to them to let You be? And then at the end of our service, I'm going to pray a prayer to help guide them and maybe making that decision in their life to accept Christ. Now, Father, thank You this morning for Your Word. Thank You for the opportunity that we have to gather and to learn now more about You and what You want for us. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we've spent time in Revelation before, and Revelation is one of those really difficult books because, yes, it is historical, and that's what we've experienced. If you've read chapters 1 through 3, then in chapter 4 we start turning, and now this is where John starts talking about future things. And this is that moment where God, it seems, calls him up into the heavens to allow him to see something. And in chapter 4, what he really begins to see is this perpetual worship that goes on in heaven. Now, he describes starting in verse 9, and I don't want to get into the debate of this, but we'll just read it for what it is. But he describes these four beings, these living beings. He talks about the 24 elders. Listen, at this stage, don't be distracted by that. Those things are symbolic, but they're literal. And that's for a Sunday school class, and we've done this before where we've dived into some of these things. But that's not what we're trying to do today. What we're trying to do today is understand that all of what John is seeing is bowing down in worship of God because of one reason: he is worthy. And so as we sort of extract that idea, that's where we want to focus this morning. So let me start reading verse 9, and as I've said, very short this morning. We'll go down to verse 11, and that's our focal verse, really the first part of it. And then if you're taking notes, we're going to come back and really just get the conversation started, to be honest. But we're going to look at four ways that he is worthy. And these are just sort of starting points. As I've tried to encourage you, this is something that you need to be searching in your life. I think these four should be included, but there are probably so many more. So let's start reading verse 9. Whenever the living beings give glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever. Verse 10, the 24 elders fall down and worship the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever. And they lay their crowns before the throne and look at verse 11 and say, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power." Now, what we find here is a response in some degree, and we'll cover this one, is why God is worthy. Well, one, they mention here, "For you created all things, and they exist because you created what you pleased." So what we're going to do is come back to that verse. And as I've said, I'm going to sort of walk through, I like to sort of dissect this and read between the lines. There's a lot in this one verse that will help us to understand, I believe, how and why he is worthy and why he should be worthy in your life. Well, the first one, it's pretty easy, and that's this: he created all things. I mean, all of those gathered in this first, by the way, worship service that's spoken of in heaven, this is the response that they give, that he is worthy because he's created all things, including them. And as we take that into April 2024 here on this world, he's created you and he's created everything in this world without question. So because of that, he is worthy. He is worthy of what? Our praise and worship. He is worthy of acknowledging his presence and acknowledging his plan and his will, acknowledging his handiwork. He is worthy of those things. And one of the things we'll talk about as we go through this is simply this phrase, the glory of God. I think on the other end of the question, why is he worthy, we can never get aside from the fact of his glory. Now let me define what we mean by the biblical use of that term glory. Glory essentially is the outcome, the evidence of God's existence. It's all that we see of God, his handiwork, his love, his creation, his forgiveness, what Jesus did on the cross, his promises, the prophecies that we find a little bit later in the book of Revelation about that Jesus is coming. That's describing what we understand to be the glory of God. It's the awesomeness of who he is. And as a believer, if we're going to ask the question, why is he worthy today? to be praised and worshiped, then you can't get away from the fact of the evidence of His existence through His glory. That is seen, by the way, in His creation. If you want to know, how do I see God? How do I know that God exists? If you're struggling with that as a non-believer, if you have friends or others that you work with that are saying, well, if God will just pop up and burn a bush, then I'll know He exists. Listen, you see evidence of His existence every single day you wake up and look into this world. Now, aside from the fact you and I have messed it up with sin, God's creation is intended, listen to this, for His glory. And we can go down that rabbit hole, but that's a great theological sort of question that we'll not jump into, but it's one maybe for you later to begin studying through. Why did God create everything the way He did? Why did He create you? It's for His glory. That's the simple answer. And as we go through all of the evidence in Scripture of that, you see over and over and over again God's glory being evident in His creation. Listen, those gathered in this worship service in heaven understood first and foremost that He is worthy because He is the author and the perfecter of not just our faith, but of everything that we see, that we experience. And in spite of the fact that we live in a fallen world, we can still choose to see His glory. And the enemy will fight you on that, in trying to convince you that God's not here, He's not around. You have to look hard. You got to squint. You got to use binoculars to see God's glory. But that's not true. You can see God's glory just driving around, looking at the trees. I mean, what a beautiful day today is. I mean, that's evidence of God's glory. We had rains and storms, or at least forecasted last week. They may come back this next week, but all of that still never disrupts the fact that we can see God's glory. We can see that He's worthy because of His glory, because of why He's created all things, not just some things, all things. Number two is this. He is worthy not just because He's the Creator, but sort of an assumption, I think, that is made in that statement at the end of verse 11 is this next one. He is worthy because He is pure and holy. Now, this is where we kind of get into the attributes of God, and we've done that a little bit on Sunday mornings in the last few weeks, whether you've realized it or not. But when we think about the character of God, it is hard for us to grasp and understand that. But let me take you back to the fact that we begin to attempt to see it and maybe understand it through His glory, right? Through the evidence of what He does. So when we say that God is pure and holy, that means there is no wrong in Him. There is no malicious intent. There is no ill motive. His heart, if you can describe it in human terms, His heart is pure. Now, it's hard for you and I in our sinful world as sinners to grasp really what that means. We struggle with that. But because of His purity, we understand His motives, maybe not fully, but we can trust His motives. We can trust the fact that He has set a plan and that He works through that because of His purity and His holiness. And we can trust that. We can trust when He tells us to go this direction that that is not just His will, but that is what's best for us. That's what He's designed for us at that moment. And learning to trust that in spite of what we may see around us. And choosing to see the glory in the midst of that. Even when it may mean hardship, there have been times, I'll be honest, in my life where it has been very resoundingly obvious that God wants me to do this. And to be honest with you, I'd rather do that. And I choose, after a struggle oftentimes, to choose to do what He wants me to do. And at the moment, there's fear, there's uncertainty, there's a horizon that I can't see too far into the future. And there's that moment of, did I really understand what God wanted me to do? Have I gotten it wrong? Am I in the right place? And every single time, You begin to experience the knowledge, I guess, or the comfort of His glory, and that is the right place. And you may not understand it. And it's not up to you to understand it. It's up to you to be obedient and trust the fact that He has told us, and we see this in this passage, and we see it evident in His glory, that He is pure and holy. Now, I'd be remiss if I didn't say this, and I want to be clear on this. When we talk about purity, I think we got that. Holiness literally means to be set apart. So when we think of God, He is not, by the way, one of us. Even though I describe Him sometimes in human terms, and we see the evidence of the second part of the Trinity and what Jesus did when He came physically to walk on this earth, but God is not limited by human creation or by human terms. He is bigger than that. And even though we will describe Him that way, that still doesn't do it justice in truly describing or encapsulating His being. We understand that. So the holy term, even though you and I are pursuing holiness because He's commanded us to do that, we will never achieve that. Because of why? Because of our sin nature. We can be forgiven of that, but if you and I are left alone, we're going to always, it seems, choose sin most of the time. Now, the deeper we grow, the less that becomes, but we can't even begin to comprehend that we're fully like Jesus or like God because He is holy. And so He is worthy of worship because He is set apart. He is holy. And out of that, we understand that as we pursue Him, He is the object of our worship. And He should be, nothing else. It's not what others think of us. It's not what the church wants for you or a pastor wants for you. It's not what a deacon dad wanted for you. We worship God because He is worthy. He is holy. He is pure. He is the Creator. And if the object, or better yet, maybe a way to say it, the focus of our worship is anything else, and then we almost become, I'm going to say this, a mockery to God. Now, this has been something I've been thinking a lot about in recent weeks, months, is how do we, and I've even spoken about it a little bit on Sunday mornings, how do we avoid being a mockery to God and what He wants for us and our worship? It comes back to what we're describing here, is that our object of worship is Him and nothing else. Yes, we're commanded to worship together. I do believe that in Scripture. But that doesn't, in some total, wrap up your worship. You should be worshiping Him pretty much every day. And in your walk with the Lord, it may be when you're driving a car. That's easy in Birmingham with the interstates and the crazy drivers, to worship Him and thank Him that you didn't get in a wreck or didn't get struck by somebody that was driving like a crazy down the interstate. But the reality is that we ought to always be kind of in a constant state of worship. Why is that? Because He is worthy. And understanding that worship essentially is putting God in His proper place. And us being reminded how much we need Him. His purity and His holiness will cause that to happen every single time. And so as we think about this and the purity and the holiness and the fact that He is worthy, and we see the evidence of all of this in His glory, we come back to the question, why is He worthy? It doesn't matter what a doctor may say or what your boss may want or what you may think is about to happen or the discomfort that you're experiencing or the fear and anxiety of the unknown that you may be facing. It doesn't change the fact that He is still worthy. Amen? And it's a choice that we make. Number three is this. Not only is He worthy because He created all things, He's pure and holy. Number three, this one's easy. He is worthy. Why? Because He is love in action. I mean, we can even define love by God. And everything that we're experiencing in our lives and in our world are often a direct action from God's love. Now, how do we justify the evil and the sin that we see in the world? God loves people so much and mankind, humankind so much that he's given us a choice to be obedient or not be obedient. And so, to be honest with you, when you jump back to the time of Genesis and Adam and Eve and their choice to sin, it does disgust God, but it's evidence of God's love for you. That he gave Adam and Eve the choice to be obedient or not obedient. He gives you that same choice out of love. So when we make a mistake and we walk off into sin, or maybe we have an obstacle in our life that causes us to sin, whatever that may be, then all of that still is a reflection of God's love. You can never get away from the fact that God loves you. And it's not just that he says he loves you. You see it in his action, which again is evidence in the glory of God. Even in the bad things, in the dark times in life, we can still see God's love. We see it in action. I mean, I've not experienced some of the things that some of you have experienced. And as I said last week, I have an unusual sort of front seat to spiritual warfare. But one of the things that reminds me of God's glory is his handiwork, his love in action, even sometimes in those dark moments. I mean, I'm going to say this. I'm just a regular guy. How do I deal with the struggle of being a pastor and working with people? In fact, I was talking to somebody before service this morning about seeing people in the ups and downs in life. But listen, how do you keep going on? How do you keep waking up and continue to do the work that you believe God's called you to do? It doesn't matter whether you're a pastor or not. But the reality is because I see God at work. I see him at work. And I don't understand it. And he could use somebody better than me to do what I do. But I want to be near where he's working and make a choice every day to try to please him with the opportunities and the gifts and the talents that he's given me because he's called me. And as hard as that may be, trying to just keep focused on the evidence of what he does. He is love in action. That's one reason why he is worthy. And then finally, we get down to the last one. And this is not really a descriptor of why he's worthy, but it can be. And that's this fourth one, okay? Let's kind of review this. He's worthy because we've said he's the creator. He's worthy because he's pure and holy. He's worthy because he's love, right? And that's seen in his action, which is part of the glory of God, by the way. But number four is this. We need him in all of his glory. Listen, that's one, I mean, above all of the other ones that we've mentioned and any others that you may bring into your list, it still remains we need him. And aside from all of the theological dazzling that goes on with terms and descriptions of heaven and what's happening in Revelation and what's going to happen when we get to heaven, all of those things are nice to talk about, but it does not change the fact that you see him as worthy because you need him. And as a believer, it really should be you need him more than anything else. I mean, that's the whole sort of a journey down fasting, isn't it? And learning to strip away things that become distractions in your life and in your worship and acknowledging who God is and what he needs to be in your life and constantly monitoring that and making sure that you are putting him in the right place and there are no obstacles that are getting in the way of that. But experiencing him so much that you're reminded the more you experience him, how much you need him. And that's the unusual thing about growing deeper in your faith. You know, I do think you get stronger. I do think you get a little bit, maybe confidence isn't the right word, but you get a little bit more assurance that God's on his throne, he's going to be working. But the more those things develop in your life, the more you realize how much you need him and nothing else. And nothing else should be as important as God. We know that. And then it gets down to things that we've talked about before. You should be defined by who he is in your life. You should seek to be your identity in some ways to be in line with him and what he wants for you. Not what the world wants or what you want, but your very core identity is defined by what he's created you to be. And when you're not doing those things and you're not expressing those things and you're failing to see his worthiness in your life, then all of those things to some degree become stagnant. Almost the brakes are put on. And you can't continue to understand or use those things simply because you aren't putting him where he needs to be. You're letting other things become more important. And so, certainly, in the context of this passage, this is heaven. I make no argument about this next statement. When you get to heaven, this is what we're going to do. We're going to be in a perpetual state of worship of God. That should not be that foreign to us, because what we learn in passages like this, because he is worthy, we ought to be in that constant state of worship. And all that means is putting God in his proper place and us acknowledging how much and how desperately we need him. Why? Because he's worthy. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning. This is a difficult passage, I think, because it really, I think, puts a divide. A lost person has a difficult time sort of dealing with the feeling that Christians have and always kind of monitoring his worthiness and are we putting him in the right place. And I think lost people really get kind of lost in that. But I pray this morning through the work of the Holy Spirit that anyone who may be in this auditorium or listening to this at home or watching our live stream, wherever they're situation may be or where they are this morning, I pray if they're not a believer that you have grabbed hold of their heart right now. And as difficult as it is for them to understand the question, is he worthy? I pray that through really the work of the Holy Spirit, the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, you're letting them see that the real question for them right now is the one I asked at the very beginning. Why is he not worthy? What in their life is keeping him from being seen as worthy? What more, Father, do you need to do to show your love, your power, your strength, your might, your love? We could go down the list. What is it? Is it just one thing that's keeping them from making that decision? Is it they're afraid that things are going to change too much in their world, that they're not going to recognize it? I mean, what obstacle is that lost person building up to place to say that he's not worthy? Father, I pray for that lost person right now. That as we lead in this prayer, and I want to lead in what we often call the sinner's prayer, that you would help them to see this in their own heart, and if they're ready to finally strip away those obstacles and answer the question, why is he not worthy, to now he is worthy, then I want them to pray this prayer in their own words, in their own heart. Father, I'm in desperate need of forgiveness this morning. I need not just forgiveness, but I need the Savior in my life. And so this morning, I ask you to forgive me of my sins, but I also invite Jesus in my life to not just be a quick fix to my problem, but to be the Lord of my life forever and ever and ever. And that every single morning, the question is not, why is he not worthy? But the question really is he worthy? Do I see that in my daily life? Now, I pray for those people who've made that decision. And if they're here, we're going to have a time of commitment in just a moment and invite them to come down and share that decision with me. We just want to get them connected with somebody who can follow up. If they're at home or watching this, then I encourage them to call the church office this week sometime. Let us know they've made that decision, that choice. Now for us as believers, it comes back to, Father, are we seeing your worthiness tomorrow morning when we wake up, when we go to our jobs or whatever else we do in our daily life? Are we seeing your worthiness even sometimes when things don't go the way we want them to? Are we experiencing you to the degree that we can see your worthiness regardless of what chaotic things are happening in the world around us? Father, I pray for that believer this morning. Help us to understand the importance of that. We pray all these things, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Would you stand now for our time of commitment?